Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, another deadly medley as we continue our series of the seven sins. Today, it's all about the Benjamins.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
Well, with our nation's economy in a nosedive, greed is getting a lot of the blame. So we asked two of our regular Soundcheck guests to help us look at how music is shaped by the impulse to stockpile cash and fleets of yachts. Dan Kennedy joins me here in the studio. He's author of, among other things, the music industry memoir Rock On, an Office Power Ballad. And joining me on the phone is the music journalist Oliver Wang. He's assistant professor of sociology at California State University, Long Beach. To the two of you, welcome back.
Great. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Now, greed, despite what Gordon Gekko says in Wall Street, turns out not to be so good for the economy. Dan, is it good for music?
I think it's pretty fertile ground for music. I mean, you know, basically, I think, you know, as you well know with the series, sin provides a lot of fodder for rock and roll, and I think writing about the level-headed life doesn't nearly have the sort of ring to it that writing about sin does.
Dan's list and Oliver's list that they came up with for us today are both on the Soundcheck page of our website at WNYC.org. Dan's list, mostly rock. Oliver, yours, mostly hip-hop. Has greed been good for that genre?
I think so. I mean, I think there's the impression that so much of hip-hop is about materialism, but I think there's also a very deep undercurrent about greed as a sin and sort of the kind of ambivalence that rappers have towards the paper chase, towards the desire for material objects. You see a lot of built-in critique within that as well. So it's not all about sort of, as you were putting at the beginning, all about the Benjamins. It's also what is the cost that comes with trying to accrue those Benjamins.
Well, and, you know, obviously in the bigger picture, we're seeing a global economic cost of kind of this boundless greed, you know, always needing more. But in musical terms, as Dan put it, it has been very fertile ground. And I want to get a little bit from each of your lists just to get us started. Dan, first, you chose Joe Walsh and the song Life's Been Good, which is a very good-natured song. Is it about greed?
It's a good-natured song, and I think, you know, the first time I heard this song was on the radio when I was like 9 years old. I would hear it every day, and I just thought it was the coolest song ever. And I don't think I realized it may be a satire of other people's greed. You know, when I was that age, I literally thought that Joe was, you know, driving around in a Maserati at 185 miles an hour without a license and spending his days in an office so he could hold, you know, hang
putting
gold records
on the
yeah,
wall.
On the wall. I really thought, like, wow, that's a pretty good gig.
Joe Walsh, there's a reason the song is called Life's Been Good. That is Joe Walsh and the song Life's Been Good. And that's on Dan Kennedy's list of seven songs about greed. Oliver Wang's list skewed more heavily towards hip-hop and includes this tune from Puff Daddy called All About the Benjamins.
Now, what y'all wanna do? Wanna be ballers, shot callers, brawlers, who be dipping in the Benz with the spoilers, on the low from the Jake and the Taurus, trying to get my hands on some grants like Horace, yeah, living the raw deal, three-course meal, spaghetti, fettuccine and veal, but still, everything's real in the field, and what you can't have now, leave when you will, but don't
knock me for trying to bury 7 zeros over in Rio de Janeiro. Ain't nobody's hero, but I want to be heard on your hot 9-7 every day. That's my word. Swimming in women.
All About the Benjamins from Puff Daddy, as we're looking at the third of the seven deadly sins in our weekly Friday series called Seven Sins, the Deadly Medley.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
When Puff Daddy tells us it's all about the Benjamins, people don't shake their heads sadly and move on. They line up to buy the song. Maybe we're all greedy on some level somewhere, and we recognize that little suppressed part of ourselves actually being celebrated in these songs.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
Dan Kennedy with me in the studio, Oliver Wang with me on the phone. Guys, you know, greed is always something that the other guy is guilty of. We're never, you know, we're not greedy.
Right.
But I guess, I mean, there's kind of a, Dan, there's a biological imperative at work here, you know? It's food, clothing, shelter. It's the basics of keeping yourself going.
Somebody's going to eat, right. And we always hope it's going to be us on some deep sort of primitive level. And I think you're right in mentioning that there is some sort of thing we're identifying with on a really unconscious level when we hear these songs. And I think sometimes on a conscious level, I was just listening to that Puff Daddy clip, and I was thinking, you know, if I rolled with that much confidence, I make a good living, but what would it be if I rolled with that kind of confidence? You know, if I walked into my publisher's office and I was like, no, it's going to go like this, you all.
You might be doing better, or you might be out on the street,
I guess,
depending
that
on
side
your...
too.
Oliver, you talked about ambivalence before. Dan is responding to this kind of extreme, this swagger of confidence that Puff Daddy exudes in that song. How does that play out, that ambivalence on the one hand and this kind of larger-than-life lifestyle that we see and hear so much about?
Well, I think an interesting song would be, and this was included in my list, was Cream by Wu-Tang Clan. And I think a lot of people listen to the chorus of Cream, which is about cash rules everything around me, Cream, get the money, dollar, dollar bill, y'all, and assume the song is, in a sense, you know, is in essence celebrating greed or is a proponent for it. But if you actually listen to the rest of the song, it's really what you were saying at the beginning about, you know, food, shelter, and this basic security, that the song is really about how these rappers are painting this narrative of coming up on the hard streets, of living in, you know, fiscal desperation, so that money ruled everything around them because money for them is survival. Whereas you have the Puff Daddy, which is about, you know, bearing 7 zeros in Rio de Janeiro. I mean, he's really clearly going over the top.
Right.
And a song like that is really about the swagger, as you were putting. It's about... It's a form of braggadocio, with money being, you know, standing in for masculinity or standing in for other things that one could brag about. So I do think that a lot of hip-hop songs that speak upon materialism, there is that sort of internal tension between, is it about making money to survive, or is it about having more than anybody else around me, and that's how I'm putting myself up as sort of the king of this stuff.
Hence, as you say, Oliver, the ambivalence in this song called Cream by the Wu-Tang Clan.
A man with a dream, with plans to make cream, which failed. I went to jail at the age of 15, a young buck selling drugs and such, who never had much, trying to get a clutch on what I could not. Court played me short, now I face incarceration, pacing, throwing up states, my destination. Handcuffed in back of a bus, 40 of us, life as a shorty shouldn't be so rough.
Wu-Tang Clan, the song is Cream, which stands for Cash Rules Everything Around Me. And this week's Seven Deadly Sins, Deadly Medley Sin, well, that wasn't too repetitive, was it, is greed. And we're speaking with Oliver Wang, who's with us on the phone from California, where he is assistant professor of sociology at Cal State Long Beach, and Dan Kennedy, author of Rock On, an office power ballad, with me here in the studio. Their lists of songs about greed can be found on the Soundcheck page of our website at WNYC.org, and you can go there and check out my blog and also leave a suggestion, a song about greed that you like, and tell us why you like it. Is it a good or a bad influence? And it certainly is one that can extend across musical genres. Take, for example, this music by Tchaikovsky from his opera Peak Dom. A young man wants a rich princess, but he figures the only way he's ever going to get her is to become a wealthy landowner. So he learns to cheat at cards to amass as much wealth as he can. Peak Dom, Queen of Spades, is the name of the opera. All right, up next, in a moment, we'll continue our discussion of how the music industry has been shaped and perhaps destroyed by greed, and we'll hear musical examples of a backlash against greed from punk to indie rock as we continue with Soundcheck. Told Rex not to thank us for not playing Pink Floyd just yet, because there they are with a classic song about music industry greed. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. More now into our look at the role that greed plays across musical genres, part of our Friday weekly series called Seven Sins, The Deadly Medley. And I'm joined by my guest here in the studio, music journalist and essayist Dan Kennedy, and on the phone, sociology professor and blogger Oliver Wang. The music industry, Dan, is the topic very much of your memoir, Rock On, an office power ballad. Yep. Greed stalks those halls of, you know, the major record labels in your book, as I'm sure it did in reality. Is that really what, you know, was that the first part of the whole kind of economic edifice to start crumbling under the weight of too much, of wanting too much?
Well, I it's one of the things I love about that Pink Floyd song, Have a Cigar, and I do think it's perfect that Rex came in and was like, hey, no Pink Floyd, thanks a lot for that. And we're like, okay, next up, Pink Floyd. The song's very much about record company greed, you know, the line that, you know, you're about to sell out, we got an album out, and you we're so happy we can hardly count, really sums it up.
And oh, by the way, which one's pink?
Yeah, exactly, which is a wonderful thing. And I've been in meetings that aren't too far-fetched from that lyric right there. The first time you see it in real life, it's a little bit crazy.
Oliver, it's easy, as I said before, you know, greed is always something we ascribe to the other guy. It's easy to look at the record industry, especially at the major labels, selling, you know, millions of albums and the big offices and the potted palms and the hallway and the fancy cars and stuff, and to say, well, that's what the problem is. What about greed on our part? You know, for every legal download, there are, what, 15, 30 illegal downloads. What about our greed? You know, we want the music. We want it all. We want it now. We just don't want to have to pay for it.
You're asking this as someone who runs an audio blog. I sense a setup. I mean, I think I hear what you're saying. I think that the challenge and the difficulty really has to do with just the changing expectations and the changing norms of how music is consumed. So I think there is certainly, you know, a conversation to be had here around the differences between legal and illegal downloading. But I also think we've entered into an era of where music is so ubiquitous and can be consumed through so many different media routes and technologies that it really calls into question sort of the kind of the old ways of doing things. And I'm not going to put this all on the recording industry, but I do think the ways in which they've been very slow to adapt and how they're still holding to sort of a 1980s or previous model of how music is purchased and consumed and how money can be made off of music doesn't really work in a context where all of that has been blown apart because of changes in media technology and media distribution.
Suppose there's an analogy to be made to the auto industry as well. I mean, look, all industry is built on trying to maximize your profit, and you could easily look at that and say that's greed. You can also say it's just ambition, it's just good business. But at some point, it doesn't work anymore. So to me, that's one of the interesting things is we look at music on this show so often as kind of a lens that allows us to talk about bigger things. Your description of a music industry unable or unwilling to change seems to me to be a kind of an echo of larger problems that we're seeing throughout our economy now.
Yeah, I think we have this assumption that industry is trying to always be cutting edge and can turn on a dime. But I think what you're finding, is, especially for very large corporations, that you know they're very much set in their ways. They know it works. They want to keep that because there's a stability, there's a security to it. But when forced with change and forced with new challenges, it suddenly becomes much less efficient. And you can see how stubborn some of these practices are in trying to maintain things that, okay, great, they might have worked for the last few decades, but they're clearly not working now.
Right.
And
so
if
we go back to 1975, Dan, one of the songs on your list, Kiss, Rock and Roll All Night,
right.
You know, the industry is flying high, and this is kind of, it's like a statement of belief in how the old model was working back
then.
Yeah,
I mean, the thing you have to remember about the old model, too, and that sort of might make the auto industry analogy start to break down, is the fact that this was an industry designed to make nobody rich but the people putting out the albums at the record company, which is very much sort of, you know, depicted in a handful of these songs. I mean, I think once fans found that out, it became a lot tougher to rationalize not stealing. You know, it was easy to say, I'm going to take this. My artist isn't going to get a dime anyway.
Well, here's Kiss and the song from 1975, Rock and Roll All Night. Mid-70s, good times for the record industry, for the major labels, and for major acts with major makeup like the guys in Kiss. Rock and Roll is on Dan's list. Dan Kennedy is a writer for GQ magazine and author of the book Rock On, an Office Power Ballad, with me in the studio. On the phone is Oliver Wang, music journalist and assistant professor of sociology at Cal State Long Beach. And Dan, at some point there was a backlash to all of this. First it was punk. And especially what was known as straight edge punk, which was just like, you know, we don't want to have anything to do with sex, drugs. Well, not rock and roll. They wanted that. But they didn't want, yeah. the sex and drugs and meat and lots of money and stuff. But then in our own day, indie rock seems to be, you know, there's been a bit of a backlash to.
Yeah, I think, you know, the whole sort of corduroy scene started out, you know, being very noble and very like, I'm just going to wear this. You know, it didn't cost much and I'm going to take a van instead of a limo. And I think, I mean, it would be interesting to sort of go back and kind of try to find like when it stopped being that way. Because, and I don't know when it happened, but at a certain point, I remember actually sort of basing my entire life on a lot of these anthems, you know, of like not doing anything with my life and blah, 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 and not trying and I don't need anything and money is evil. And then I realized I was like turning 30 years old and still renting. And I remember finding out that like my three favorite songwriters bought real estate on their second album. And I was just like, what? I was living the manifesto, you guys, that you wrote about.
Meanwhile, you were living large on my money.
That's right.
Oliver, has there been a similar thing at play in the world of hip-hop?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think, especially during the 1990s, I guess the corollary would be sort of the indie rap movement that of the 90s and of this decade, that there has been a constant backlash against sort of the over-bling blingization. That's a really awkward term. I need to
good
work
try
on that.
There,
but,
Oliver.
Yeah, I mean, there has been a backlash against sort of what the perception of over materialism that has come about. I mean, I think in some ways, though, a lot of those critiques come off as didactic, as the songs that sort of celebrate materialism but don't do it with much style. So you have both sides picking up their positions, but sort of going through the motions and doing it a little bit rotely.
Well, you know, Jay-Z has been on both sides. I mean, Dan's list has the song Big Pimpin'. Your list has De Evils.
Yes.
Which side of the fence is he on here?
I mean, I think Jay's been on both sides throughout his career. One of the other songs I was thinking about putting down was Jay-Z and Jermaine Dupri's Money Ain't a Thing, which is sort of like in that Benjamin's Mulder in the Big Pimpin' mode. But then at the same time, Jay has a song like The Evils, which is from his first album in 1996, which is all about the cost of greed. It's about what it turns people into. And so, you know, The Evils, Devils, you know, greed is devilish. Greed is demonic. It warps people. And I think you see a lot of that critique built into so many different rap songs. And if you really think about the kind of a lot of the big iconic cinematic stars who have influenced rappers, people like Scarface, like The Godfather, like Frank White from King of New York, these are all men who've been brought down by their ambitions, brought down by their greed. So you always have that sort of internal cautionary tale that comes with the desire for money and fame and all these things, but there's always a dark side that rappers, I think, like to tap into because there's sort of an interesting tension to be played out there.
As there is in this song called The Evils from Jay-Z.
And the workings of the underworld, granted, 9 to 5 is how you survive. I ain't trying to survive, I'm trying to live it to the limit and love it alive. Life ills, poison my body, it used to say my skills. I never prayed to God, I prayed to God. E, that's right, it's wicked. That's life, I live it. Ain't asking for forgiveness for my sins. Ends, I break bread with the lay hands, picking their brains.
All right, still to come, your calls and comments on Music and Greed. And while you're on our website, check out U2's upcoming album, No Line on the Horizon, and give us your review. And then tune in Tuesday for another Soundcheck Smackdown about the new U2 record. That's coming up next week. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and we continue our Friday series, Seven Sins, the Deadly Medley. Today we're looking at how songwriters and composers deal with greed. And you can call us at 212-433-WNYC. Tell us a favorite song about greed, or leave a comment on the Soundcheck page of our website, WNYC.org. A listener who calls herself Plain Jane in Murray Hill posted this comment about this Kurt Vile opera we're hearing. Jane writes, "My favorite would be Vile's Rise and Fall of the City of Mahagoni, about three scam artists fleeing from the law who decide to found a hedonistic new town, Mahagoni. It's Vile at his toughest and most cynical." And includes this pretty famous song as well. With me in the studio is Dan Kennedy, author of the music industry memoir Rock On, an Office Power Ballad. On the phone is Oliver Wang, music journalist who contributes to the LA Times, NPR, and Vibe. And we're talking about music and money and greed. And Dan, I was kind of surprised on your list, and again, both your list and Oliver's lists on the Soundcheck page of our website, to see Pete Townsend, who, you know, I've often thought of as a guy who, despite having the trappings of superstardom, kept them sort of at a distance.
He did keep them at a distance. The song that I chose is widely disputed in title. Some say it's called Stardom in Action. Some say it's called Stardom in Acton, some place in London where Pete apparently spent some time thinking about stardom, evidently. The lyric, of course, "I want my hit, want my tan, want my cash, want my innocence," I think is really about sort of wanting it all and wanting it out. Certainly a scathing indictment on people who seem to be hungering for fame just for fame's sake.
When Oliver was talking before about the ambivalence in the hip-hop community to fame and to, you know, to wealth and to greed, is this sort of where Pete Townsend's at?
I think it might be. Again, speaking to my short-sightedness, I get pretty excited when I listen to the song because I think to myself, I want my hit too, and my tan and my cash and my innocence. And I think, how can Pete sing all of this if he had all of those things? And I figured it out. He hasn't got a tan.
So being pale is what saved him.
That's what saved him on that one.
Pete Townsend, the song might be called Stardom in Acton.
soldier retires and shiver in South California. Watching the storms and the tangling wires and rivers that meet on the corner. Like some prostitute.
Pete Townsend's song Stardom in Actin, or perhaps Stardom in Action, and that's on Dan Kennedy's list of great songs about greed, Oliver Wang's list as well, on the Soundcheck page of our website. What's on your list? Give us a call, 212-433-9692. That's 433-WNYC. Number of comments coming in. Jill from Manhattan writes, opportunities, let's make lots of money by the Pet Shop Boys. And of course, the Pet Shop Boys song, It's a Sin, kind of the theme song for this series, the Seven Sins. Danielle from the Upper West Side reminds us that this is not a new idea. She says, the OJs, money, money, money. And Nigel from Brooklyn writes, I Need More by Iggy Pop, who did a, well, I mean, Lust for Life, although it has lust in the title, is very much a greed song, too. Wanting it all. Oliver, the hip-hop portion of the music industry has been hit especially hard in the recent slump. Is the image of, you know, the diamond-encrusted grill and, you know, the pimped-out ride, is all of that stuff now out of fashion somewhat?
We seem
to have lost Oliver for a moment. Oliver, you with us?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, did you hear the question?
I did, and I think what you're asking is a really, really fascinating question, and it's something that a lot of people are really invested in seeing what's going to happen. There's sort of a pet theory that has gone around that one of the reasons why hip-hop in the late 80s and the early 90s was so powerful was because it was reacting to sort of the recession and the crack wars of the 1980s. But once things got good in the Clinton years, that's when sort of the blinged-out era kicks in, and for some, the music becomes a lot more banal and tepid. And so I think there's sort of this secret hope that the tough times that the country is going through now will actually create another kind of response or reaction in hip-hop to make it suddenly good again. Of course, that depends on whether or not you actually think hip-hop currently is good or bad. But I do think it's sort of this interesting recession creative, you know, response cycle that people have put out there. So who knows? Maybe hip-hop's next golden era is just around the corner as the country sinks deeper into despair.
Gee, thanks for that, Oliver.
At least we can have good music to temper the time.
Yeah, it's really the least we can do as a nation. If it means some good hip-hop albums, I'm willing to go broke.
So it's all about the Benjamins. Well, maybe not anymore. Let's see if we can get a couple of other voices in here as we go to the phones. Sal joining us from Staten Island. Sal, do you have a favorite song about greed?
Well, I'm going to be a favorite. I'm not really a fan of them, but what comes to mind is Metallica's Master of Puppets.
Metallica.
I mean, knowing the evils of addictive drugs, you know, the lyrics are like, just to have a little taste, and more is all you'll need. Now I'm inside you, now I rule you too. You can kind of see that with when you do cocaine or any type of addictive opiate. It's always like just a little bit more you need, and it's never enough, you know?
Huh. That's an interesting take on the Metallica song.
Yeah, I also like the fact that he preceded that with he's not a fan, but he had like those three verses at the tip of his tongue. But,
right.
And he was also calling from a sound effect factory.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. I'm afraid that's what a cell phone sounds like when you put it on the air, at least from Staten Island. Chris joining us in New Jersey. Chris, you want to suggest a song about greed for us?
Sure, I've got a great one. It's Fallen.
Say that again, Chris.
I can hear it.
Fallen. All right, Fallen from Teenage Fan Club.
Ah.
All right, well.
Well.
I.
It sounds like he may have fallen, actually, right in the middle of that call.
It's going to be one of those days, I suppose.
Hey, John?
Yeah, Oliver.
If I can interject, I noticed on the comments page, someone had suggested a song that I had originally thought for my list, which is Barrett Strong's I Want Money, which is sort of this classic, you know, 60s kind of pop R&B hit, but, you know, celebrates gloriously the desire for money and not love, which is sort of a twist on how that usually is supposed to go.
And I mean, I remember that it was 1979 when the Flying Lizards, I think, did that version.
Yeah, that was the most sort of famous cover, right?
Okay, yeah.
Right.
And, you know, that's what I want. Just bring me money.
Just the
give
money.
Me money.
Don't really need the emotional thing.
Ben from Brooklyn says, come on, guys, let's share the wealth here. There are no women artists looking for wealth and fame. Mm. I challenge you to play the Pussycat Dolls when I grow up. Now, that's a challenge we may or may not feel like taking on right now. But, you know, Madonna certainly made her early career on this image of, you know, the girl who wanted it, the material girl.
The material girl, right, because the girl who wanted it all didn't quite have the same ring to it, they said. So they went with material girl. And that was her whole thing.
And I guess, again, Oliver, to sort of bring it back to your list of songs from hip-hop, it is a very male-dominated list. Does the mogul thing not play so well with the few female rappers who are out there?
No, I think there is, and I briefly flirted with the idea of looking through some of either Foxy Brown or Little Kim's catalogs, not only just for songs about materialism, but also the ways in which greed and sexuality get intersected within theirs. But in the end, I opted to go with some other pieces. But I mean,
I wondered when lust would raise its ugly head again. I mean, every time we do one of these, we end up coming back to lust somehow.
Well, Little Kim kind of mixed them up in you know, the jump off where she said she's the black Barbie dressed in Bulgari trying to go home in someone's Ferrari. That that kind of mixed the two there: cars, money, and meeting somebody.
What about Boogie Down Productions and Love's Gonna Get You?
Ah, that's really a kind of a classic in the critique of materialism class, and song recorded probably back around maybe 88 or 89. And it's a narrative story about this young guy who's on the come up, and him and his brother start they want to be hoodlums, and they start taking over the neighborhood drug game. But as they build and they, you know, have better cars and they got, you know, big TVs in their apartment, they're also attracting the ire and the jealousy of other competitors, and it ends up getting them shot. And so what KRS is trying to do in this song is show what the price of greed is that if you are too greedy, you're basically setting yourself up to be taken down.
Hi, speaking with Oliver Wang on the phone with us from Southern California, and Dan Kennedy here with me in the studio, and here is that Boogie Down production song, Love's Gonna Get You. We've been talking about greed. Oliver, Dan, thank you both for being with us today.
Pleasure.
I be telling you all the time, man, you know, love, that word love is a very serious thing, and if you don't watch out, I tell you that. Because a lot of people out here, they say, I love my car, or I love my chain, or I'm just in love with that girl over there. So for all the people out there that fall in love with material items, we're going to bump the beat a little something like this. I'm in junior high with a B-plus grade. At the end of the day, I don't hit the arcade. I walk from school to my mom's apartment. I got to tell the suckers everything.